This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Her Vantage, the show about women of influence and leadership. I'm Christine Wong, and personally, I've only been working for a few years, so it's always good to get the perspective of someone who has had a long and almost literally illustrious career like my guest today. I'm speaking to Gladys Goh, Group General Manager of Nippon Paint Malaysia. Before we start on your current job, I just wanted to focus a little bit on you and your background as a person before you joined Nippon Paint. You actually have a background in physics in terms of your education, and you also did the general management program from Harvard Business School. But the beginning of your career involved a little bit more sort of brand management and marketing. I mean, did you ever intend on pursuing a career path more in line with your degree and your educational background? And if so, what changed your mind?
Thank you, Christine, for bringing me back to where I started. So I didn't thought that I will be doing marketing during my university days, but I generally like numbers and logic as well. So physics was a degree that seems to come across me at that point in time to be interesting. So I went for education around this degree. But more importantly is that during my years in universities, I spent a lot of time doing ISAC, which is a club or a society where we have a lot of activities that deals around with interaction of people and a lot of exchange program, exposure to what's going on in global issues. So during my interaction with a lot of my peers during my days in ISAC universities actually exposed me to the element of meeting a lot of corporate people. So that's why when I graduated, I was very fortunate that I have the opportunity to work with Unilever in their management trainee program. And from there, I decided that marketing was something that interests me because using logics and numbers, I'm able to look at branding and products and how do you use products to solve people's problems, you know. So an opportunity to grow the market, yeah? So many years in Unilever, right. 6 years.
Right. It's really amazing that you kind of managed to marry your love of numbers and also figuring out how people work as well into your marketing career. And obviously that then led to you beginning your career in Nippon Paint in 2006 as the Assistant General Manager of Marketing. And now you are the Group General Manager. So would you mind taking us through your transition into becoming Group General Manager first?
All right, I think maybe I share a little bit of transitioning, moving from a fast-moving consumer product to something that's less consumer-centric. Yeah. So I think what my experience provided me from Unilever and Coke was really selling consumer products. Yeah. So it's a lot of marketing, branding, looking at campaigns and how you advertise and sell these products to consumer. So when I moved to Nippon Paint is paint. Yeah. Paint is not a high involvement product. It's a very low involvement product and it's also deemed as a very industrial sort of segment. Mm-hmm. So using the experience I have from B2C, trying to use the principles of branding and marketing there into a more B2B product segment was a very interesting journey. Just to give you a background, Nippon Paint is not just talking about decorative paint that you and me could relate very well to for your house, but we're also talking about a segment that deals with industrial coating. We supply paint to the car manufacturers, we supply paint to coil coaters, we supply to developers and things like that. We have the homeowners, we have the painter dealers, we have the painters. So this really stretches the principle of marketing. It is not just about fast-moving good products, but really understanding different stakeholders' motivation and how we can engage them with our product to provide solution to them. So it was an interesting journey, therefore, from a FMCG product to a less involvement sort of category. But I think what we did successfully in Nippon Paint is to change people's perception of the paint industry. So it was seen as a very cold, low involvement category, but we did a lot of initiative to make it relevant to homeowners be it through colors, because I think color is something that everybody can engage. So we talk about how color changes your mood and things like that, and therefore we're able to stimulate the interest in paint. Number two, also innovation. So our innovation, I pivoted a lot of innovation to very consumer-centric needs. Like for instance, one of the key highlights of products that we have launched over the years is odorless paint, which most people never occur that it's an innovative product, because you assume that paint smell is a necessity for you to paint your home. But we launched products like odorless, which got a lot of attention, like simple basic things that you could understand, oh wow, if I have paint odor is bad for my health, and therefore with odorless paint, now I can paint and bring a safer environment. Mm-hmm. And today, we're not talking about just odorless, we're talking about child wellness. How would a paint company talks about child wellness when we are not even in the industry of feeding the kids or education? But we could link back to child wellness in the sense that the environment that they are in, the right product innovation that doesn't cause them to be, you know, unhealthy, colors can be stimulating to them, allowing them to be very creative by scribbling on the wall, but because we have stain-resistant coating, we can pivot from a thought of paint as a very industrial product to now, right now, wow, paint is a necessity even in growing up, you know, in raising my kids, you know, to have the right environment for them. Right. So that was a very interesting journey that we had over in Nippon Paint.
Following on from that, as you were mentioning, you know, paint is a pretty, I guess, static sort of product. But has the company itself changed very much from 2006 to the present day?
Certainly, that I brought some sort of changes to the company. Number one, I think through quick wins, like showing the old management team or the previous management team that we can bring innovative product that's very consumer-centric, really open up their eyes that there's a lot of opportunity for Nippon Paint. So I was, at that point of time, the youngest head of department in a room filled with men. So I think first part is I think I broke the glass ceiling that we can have women leadership team in a paint industry, which is normally deemed as a very male-dominated industry. Secondly, along my journey, beside transforming Nippon Paint brand in Malaysia and gain our brand dominance here, we also expanded geographically to new countries. So the early countries that we went to are like Pakistan. Today we are in Bangladesh. We are also managing Thailand, Philippines, Indonesia, and we are looking at more geographic expansion. So therefore, that experience has been really very fulfilling for me because it started with just Malaysia, transforming the business in Malaysia. And then we go into green fields like Pakistan, where we built from scratch. And we wanted to also transform the way paint industry has been marketed or sold in that country and to different sort of operation challenges that we have across the geographic locations. But there's one area that I personally very passionate when I'm helming the company at the general manager position was young talents. So I also started off on our management associate program, because I wanted to bring in new blood. It's like a graduate program, trainee program, which we have run for more than 10 years. So what we did was we wanted to seed younger talents into the organization. So in a way, bringing down the average age in the company, and then we could promote more diversity. So we have younger generation, the millennials, and we have also the older generation who has been very loyal to the company, and they are very seasoned in an experience. So how you have a perspective of younger, newer, new ideas with the experience of the seasoned veterans have, yeah? So I think these are the kind of things that I brought into the company and I've learned along the way as well.
Right. You were mentioning at the beginning of that answer that when you first joined the company, you were one of the only women, right, in a leadership position, and you felt that you were able to break the glass ceiling. You know, can you tell me a little bit more about what that experience was like being a woman in a primarily male-dominated industry?
So when I first discovered that I was probably the only female, right, in the boardroom, it was a very interesting experience because at the end of the day, I think my experience in the FMCG industry, my knowledge and skill set in branding a consumer product was very valuable to Nippon Paint, because at that time they have not been investing a lot on the branding and marketing perspective, and they wanted to transform. So I have probably a skill set that I'm able to stand out and have quick wins. And with that sort of quick wins, where I prove that we can use new methodology or new ideas, I think that gave me a reputation or credibility to speak up. And ever since then, I don't think there is a difference of gender. They don't see me that I'm a woman, so therefore I'm treated differently. But I think there was a equal voice for me because I'm able to bring skill set and contribute to ideas and strategy to the company.
All right. It's time for a short break for some messages at the moment. But when we come back later on, we'll continue speaking to Gladys Goh, Group General Manager of Nippon Paint Malaysia, about how Nippon Paint has been faring over the course of the MCO. You're listening to Her Vantage on BFM 89.9.
Be financially minded. BFM 89.9.
This is Her Vantage, the show about women of influence and leadership. I'm Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to Gladys Goh, Group General Manager of Nippon Paint Malaysia. Before the break, we talked a little bit about her career and her background in her education and how she managed to break the glass ceiling in a primarily male-dominated industry of the paint industry. You actually mentioned before the break that you managed to shift the perception of paint from something that is extremely industrial to something that is a little bit more relatable, and you even touched upon things like odorless paint and how paint can affect your environment, wellness, and things like that. From my understanding, right before the MCO, Nippon did a survey on environmental wellness and the cleanliness habits of Malaysian homeowners. And I'm surprised to see that, you know, paint can play such a large role in wellness. So would you mind talking a little bit more about that?
I think before the MCO, when we launched the indoor wellness program, we wanted to educate people the importance of wellness in your indoor environment, which people don't pay much attention. People get very worried when there's haze and they stay so much indoor, but they don't realize that indoor contains a lot of hazard as well. So that program was something that we collaborated with some doctors and also some experts to highlight and educate. And because we also have a range of product that really ensure that your indoor wellness are taken care as well. But I think it became a lot more relevant in MCO context when you are really locked inside your house. So I think this also was very timely because now that you're spending more time, you realize that, hey, you know, it's not about going, when you go out, you're worried about virus, but when you're inside, you're worried about the time that you're spending indoor. Right. And also, what interestingly we find out is that the more people spend at home, they start realizing about their home. They are more aware because you are spending 24/7 in your house. Besides realizing about, well, the cleanliness of your house, your indoor air quality, maybe you are also paying attention to cracks on your walls, you know. The fungus, you know, things that you don't pay much attention because you're very busy going out, shopping, holidaying and things like that. So it became a huge opportunity, I think, for the paint industry at this current moment, yeah?
Right. And did you actually notice, you know, any uptick in interest in these antiviral paints that you offer?
Of course, there's a huge interest, not only just in the antiviral paint, but during MCO, we see a marked increase of interest in paint. Because back to the reason I spoke earlier, people are spending more time and therefore they wanted to do something around home improvement. But there are also, it was also upcoming Hari Raya. There was people who wanted to take the opportunity to refresh a home and things like that. But we also see, of course, a marked interest in antimicrobial coatings. I think it's not just paint industry alone. I think generally for everything, because you're not talking about just homeowners on their sanitization, yeah, on their walls or things like that, but also the government SOPs, when you talk about the MITI SOPs for all industry segment to kickstart their operations, you have to sanitize twice a day, you know, and therefore antimicrobial paint could be a very good solution, because instead of having to sanitize the wall, which take up time, and you have to use a lot of sanitizer, which is cost as well, if you paint an antimicrobial coating, especially something that is even effective for viruses, that will actually reduce the need to sanitize your wall, because it's automatically sanitizing, self-sanitization, yeah? Therefore, we see that there is a marked interest in these antimicrobial coatings, and we are looking at educating people on antimicrobial coating besides just being able to kill viruses or from your walls, but it's something that also look at work processes as well, that we can be more effective and less time consuming for these people who have practiced SOPs. Yeah.
Right. So have you been working with businesses or even governmental organizations to help promote, I guess, the usefulness of the antimicrobial paint?
We are embarking into this program. At this moment, we are still working on the final details, because the last couple of months was more on the lockdown and business sustainability. So we were all around studying the processes, the incentive program that the government has. But during the MCO, I think we do realize, other than antimicrobial coating and the interest in home improvement, but we also realize the importance of looking at the way we partner with our dealers in the shops, because with the new SOPs, I think our business partners are struggling that they cannot serve more customers in their shops. People are concerned about their safety when they walk into the shop. A lot of our dealers who wants to sell, and there's homeowners who wants to buy, and there was a disruption in supply chain. So we are thinking about how do we link up our dealers with the homeowners. And we know that there are online marketplaces which are not designed specifically for people to buy paint in a good buying experience. So we actually set up our e-store during the MCO period. And what we do is we wanted to support this e-store is to support our business partners who wants to provide a safe environment for homeowners to buy paint, as well as to protect their own worker safety as well. So therefore, we are creating an e-store platform where we are a middle person to work with our dealers, who's going to be fulfillment center, and people can actually buy paint and they can click and they buy. That means they collect the paint a few days later, or they can have it delivered to your home. So we felt that this kind of innovation is very important to be done, so that we can support our business partner and not left them into a lurch in this new norm.
Right. And from my understanding, Nippon has a new paint that is called the Nippon Paint Virus Guard 2.0. Was this a product that was created in light of the MCO, or was it already in production beforehand?
This paint has been in production in the past. It's called Virus Guard. So what happened was, this paint is the first antiviral coating in Malaysia that we can safely claim that is effective against hand, foot and mouth disease and H1N1. At that point of time, obviously, we did not check other viruses like human coronavirus because there was no COVID-19. But because of this current pandemic, we went to test this viral coating, which we use a silver ion technology, which is a well-known inorganic anti or microbial ingredient. So we found that this product is also effective against human coronavirus 229E, which is one sort of strain for coronavirus, which we are very glad right now that we can also promote this as effective against human coronavirus. Great. So that's why we name it 2.0, right?
Right. Awesome. I just have a final question for you. It's a little bit less to do with the paint industry and Nippon Paint in general, but more to do with you personally. You have been with Nippon Paint since 2006, and it doesn't sound like you're going to slow down anytime soon. But do you see yourself, you know, staying with Nippon Paint for the rest of your career? Or, you know, do you think that there is an opportunity for you in another industry or vertical in the future?
Obviously, 14 years in Nippon Paint has been very long. It has been a very, very fulfilling journey. And I think I can see myself much longer in this industry because there's so much of opportunity that we can do. There's so much of innovation. And also, Nippon Paint as a company, we are just not looking at innovation in the current verticals that we are playing in, but we are really expanding to new segment that complements with the coating industry. So I think it's a very exciting period for paint in general, yeah, and the industry as well.
Great. Well, thank you very much for speaking to me today, Gladys.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been very enjoyable sharing my experience with you.
Fantastic. This has been Her Vantage on BFM 89.9. If you've missed any of this interview, you can download our app that's available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also head over to bfm.my/podcast to catch up, or you can catch us on Spotify. I'm Christine Wong, and you're listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.